As we look at Romans chapter 12, which was read a moment ago in connection with the Lord's Supper, and as the scripture reading this morning, we see that God's purpose, God's intent in our lives is to change each one of us through Jesus Christ, to take us from where we have been in a lost condition and to save us, and then to change us into new people. This is a radical change, obviously, that takes place. It doesn't take place overnight, but in that, as we read here in Romans chapter 12, he describes it as being a sacrifice, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He then speaks about the fact that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We may not think about this aspect, but in the next verse, Paul immediately talks about our thinking. And he says that, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." One of the changes then that God wants to make in each one of us is to change the way we think. He wants us to change the way we have thought about our past. He wants us to change the way we have thought about our future. And the beautiful thing about the gospel of Christ is that God gave His Son as a perfect sacrifice so that whoever the person is, whatever their past has been, that sin is forgiven. It is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants us then to accept and see that we have a hope of eternal life that is awaiting us. A hope, a home with God in heaven, a place there with others who have died and been buried with Jesus Christ and risen, fellow Christians and saints of all ages. We have this precious hope that someday we will be together in eternity. But God also wants us to have a new way of thinking about our life here on earth in the time that we are living here, how we relate to life, what is our perspective on life, not only our past but our future, but how do we view our present life as we live in this world. I think you would all agree with me that our thinking is one of the most crucial areas of your life. How you think about your life. In some ways, the way you think defines who you are. And it either frees you from your past or enables you to move forward with your future with hope and confidence. And so the perspective that we have as we look at our life is so important. And as we look at that past verse there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, where he says, "To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." He shows us there how our thinking should be as Christians. Every one of us should be defined by those two things. We should not be thinking too highly of ourselves, but we should be thinking soberly, as God has given to us each one a measure of faith. God has saved us. He loves us. His Son died for us and has been raised from the dead and is seated in heaven. Therefore, we need to think soberly about our life, and we need to think about how can God use me. But we all always have in mind thankfulness of what He has done for us, what He is doing for us in our life. And so our life changes and our thinking changes as we think soberly about the blessings that God has given to us. One of the first things that this impacts, I believe, is it enables us to be optimists, have a view of optimism of our life. And that is very important, to be optimistic about life. Today, living in the times that we're living, we do hear a lot of depressing things that are happening around us. And for sure, many people need Jesus Christ. Their lives are hurting. Their lives are needing salvation in Christ. We're concerned about many things happening in our own country, I'm sure. You as well as I. But we as Christians need to be optimistic people. We need to have an attitude where we choose to look upon the good things that are there. And we can always find so many of those in life. So that we're not living our lives as depressed people. I understand that depression can be a medical condition. It can be a very serious condition. But we have a lot in our lives as Christians to be very optimistic, to have a very positive, joyful outlook on life. When we, first of all, think about the spiritual blessings that we have received in Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians speaks of that in the first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. As you read down through this in Ephesians chapter 1, you come across the word several times, riches. The riches that we have in Christ. That is the idea that Paul is getting at. Is wanting us to see that in Christ, we have been given riches. We have been given treasures in Christ. And that should make us so joyful and happy in our lives to think that God has given us all of these blessings, that He has adopted us into His own children. He, from before the beginning of the world, predestined us in Christ to be His children, to have the forgiveness of our sins, to be an inheritance with God in eternity. God loves each one of us. He has a place reserved for us in heaven. And these spiritual blessings, it says every spiritual blessing that we have in the heavenly places in Christ. We are now living in the heavenly places in Christ here as we live the Christian life. It is a spiritual realm that we are able to be part of. We think about the heavenly places being heaven itself, but Paul is referring to in this life. We are now living in heavenly places. We have riches. Who comes to mind when you think of the richest person here in our city? Probably Bill Gates would come to my mind. But have you ever thought about the fact you and I, we are the richest people in Seattle? We are the richest people in the world because of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. We have reason in this life to live, and we have things that God has prepared for us to do. And God is on our side. God is with us. God does not want us to withdraw out of this world and live in hiding. Jesus prayed for His disciples in John chapter 17. He said, "Father, I do not pray for them to be taken out of the world, but that You would keep them in the world." So God wants us to be in this world, but not of this world. He does not want us to be conformed to this world, but we are to live in this world. And as we do, we have so much to be thankful for. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul said, "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" In verse 37, he goes on to say, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." I realize we have struggles each day, each one of us, within our families and within our jobs and health issues, financial pressures and things that we all deal with. But it's good to be optimistic in our lives as Christians. Think about God being with us to help us deal with these things in life. Be confident in that. As we were reading this morning and studying in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Our Father in the heavens. We're told right there, God is a personal God. He's a loving God. He's a powerful God. And we have Him on our side. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul went on to say there, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He was writing from prison in Rome when he wrote this letter. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15 through 19, Moses spoke to the people of Israel and said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." See, choose life. Choose these blessings that God has given us. Choose to live your life with your mind on those. And your life can be very optimistic, very bright, filled with joy and hope. It's a choice, though, that we make. The other side is life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose life so that we may live. And our descendants, our children, even after us, depends on the choices that we make in our life. The other side of this is the problem of pessimism. And what is pessimism? It's simply a disposition of an attitude that we have to take the least hopeful view of things. That we choose not to look at the blessings, but look at the negative side. And our world encourages us sometimes to do that. That standards are set by the world that causes us to take our eyes off of the blessings of God and put them on the world. And it can be discouraging and defeating, self-defeating, if we do that. In the Bible, when we read of pessimism, I believe it is nearly always associated with a lack of faith on the part of God's people. One example of that happened when the Israelites came out of Egypt and under Moses, and they came to the Red Sea. They came to the borders of the Red Sea and they looked behind and Pharaoh and his chariots were pursuing them. And they became very fearful, obviously. said, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Well, that was a lack of faith on the Israelites at that point. They needed to look to Moses and his faith and his example to see that God was with them. A little bit later, when they came to the borders of the Promised Land, Moses sent out 12 spies. You remember they went through the land for 40 days and they returned. And they had brought with them some of the reports of what it was like in the land of Canaan. In fact, they brought back with them some of the grapes of the harvest. And it was the Bible says it was so heavy, the bunches of grapes that they had, that they had two men to carry them on a pole between them. Imagine that. It was described as a land of milk and honey, a land of abundance. But 10 of the 12 spies turned back a negative report. They said, yes, that's all true, but we saw that there were giants in the land. And those cities are high walls around each one of those cities. And we are like grasshoppers next to these giants that are there in the land. So they took a very pessimistic view. They wanted to immediately turn around and go back to Egypt once again. But it was Joshua and Caleb who stood firm. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath came out against the armies of Israel and mocked them and challenged them to battle. And many of them cowered in fear. But it was David, young David, who was willing to go out and battle with them. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told the parable of the talents. And in that, he said that the owner gave to his servants one talent. And he was gone for a long time. And when he came back, he brought them in to give an accounting. The first came in and said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. Here is 5 more talents that I have earned. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. The second one had 2 talents. He said, Lord, here are 2 more talents. You gave me 2, and now I've made 2 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. The third servant, he said, Lord, I knew that you were a very harsh master, and I took my talent, my 1 talent, and I buried it in the ground. And here it is back. The Lord said to him that he was a wicked and slothful servant, that he should have put his talent out for interest, even to make something on the return that was given. But as we think about those, there's a lack of faith. Lack of faith that is associated with pessimistic outlook in the Bible. God's people need to be more optimistic than this. Realizing God is with us. And He was there at the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. The Israelites walked through on dry ground. He stood with Joshua and Caleb and the people of Israel. And they walked through the Jordan River on dry ground and entered in and conquered those cities with the high walls and the giants. David, as a young man, went out and did battle with Goliath and slew Goliath and won a great victory. Look at those 2 talents and 5 talents. They were able to take and multiply what they had been given. The lesson is that we need to have faith in God. Whenever we look in the Bible, then there's always that challenge for us to keep our eyes on God and have faith, or to doubt God and begin to be feeling hopeless. I saw this the other day. I like this statement. It says, "Don't lose hope. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something." It's good for us to remember that. I don't know what He's up to in your life or my life always, but I know He's there helping you, each one of you, just as He has been there for us so many times. So be optimistic about the blessings that God has given you. We need to let go of our past. That is one way that we need to change our thinking. Let go of our past. Failures. We've had many failures in our past. God has forgiven us of those. We need to let go of them. Bad things have happened in our past, each one of us. But we need to put those behind us. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So press forward to the goal of heaven. Look forward. Don't be dwelling on the past. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus spoke about being His disciples, following Him, calling people to come and follow Him. And He said, as they were journeying on the road, someone said to Him, "Lord, I will follow You wherever You go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." He said, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So we need to put things behind us that are in the past, and let the Lord use us as we move forward into the future of our lives. How do we let go? We need to forgive ourselves. We need to let go of old hurts and old grudges and bitter feelings that we have allowed to build up. But the Lord can help us do that. He can wipe that clean and help us to have a new view of our life. We need to get a grip on worry. We are studying that in Matthew chapter 6. Actually, next Sunday we will be looking at these very verses. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 19 through 34. But in that, Jesus teaches us not to worry. He teaches us that we should not worry about our clothing. We should not worry about the food. We should not worry about our life. And He gives us encouragement of all those areas. It doesn't benefit anything to worry. We cannot lengthen our life. We cannot make ourselves any taller by worrying. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. In Philippians chapter 4, writing there, Paul, this letter of joy that he writes to the Philippians, he also speaks about that. And he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So not to ignore problems that we do have. We need to face up to those problems. Seek God's help. Look at your life. Evaluate where you stand. Make an honest evaluation and take them to God. Seek His help in these things of your life. What can I do? What can God help me to do to address these problems? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So we can face problems with the Lord, with His help. We need to listen to friends, be willing to talk to brothers and sisters, seek help, be open and transparent with one another, struggles that we face. Pray together about them. We have such a family of encouragement that we can go to. But I believe that we need to realize the danger of what improper thinking does in our lives. Sometimes people are carrying a lot of baggage with them. A lot of excess baggage that hinders us from thinking properly. Things that have happened in our life or the past that keeps coming back to the surface and causing us to dwell on negative aspects of life instead of focusing on the blessings that we should be looking at. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 that we are to be casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, we need to, first of all, be aware of the schemes of Satan, the schemes of the world. For example, sometimes a young person can be thinking about their appearance. They can be thinking, you know, the world has a model of beauty and handsome, and I don't see myself measuring up. And so we can dwell on those things. We need to focus on, God looks on the inner person, the beauty of your life, the beauty of how He created you. He says in Psalms that you were beautifully and wonderfully made, even in the womb of your mother. You were formed by God as a masterpiece. And so, look upon those things. Don't let the world deceive us and take away the joy that we should have. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 is a beautiful verse. It's where he tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You have infinite potential through Jesus Christ. So don't hold ourselves back with pessimistic thinking that probably is coming from the world, some of the past experiences that have happened in our lives. Live life to the fullest. Live the abundant life that Jesus provides for us. In order for that, we need to have a relationship with God. That is the key. We need to be submissive to the will of God. Surrender your life to Jesus. Be baptized into Christ. Be raised to walk in newness of life. Become a new creature in the Lord. God can help us learn to think properly. about life because He wants us to enjoy this life and to look forward to the life to come. So this morning, if you're here and you have not become a Christian, I want to extend the invitation to you this morning to come forward this morning again. Submit your life to Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized into Jesus, we exhort you to do this, to be buried with Him in baptism and raised up in newness of life. It's in baptism that we are able to come in contact with the blood of Jesus, which was shed for our sins. And we can read about this more in the book of Romans chapter 6. Whenever the gospel invitation is given by the apostles in the New Testament, they always extend to them, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So we want to conclude this lesson with that invitation to you this morning. And we hope you'll respond to it as we stand together and sing.
I'm singing today.